This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik De Geer.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Henrik. How's it going?
Good.
So my name's James Mulvaney, and I'm a founder, an entrepreneur. Currently, I run three different software platforms, all in the audio space. So we have podcast.co, radio.co, and rapmatchmaker.fm.
James, how are you involved with user adoption?
Well, I think the job of the CEO ultimately is to, you know, make sure that you get users on board. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's primarily the focus of all of our businesses. You know, our businesses would not be able to exist without users who are happy to kind of, you know, engage with the products and pay subscriptions, et cetera. So I think really, you know, it sort of stems down to whoever's in charge of the company is ultimately responsible for the end user's experience and also uptake of how often people are accessing your software or your product.
James, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with user adoption?
I think the main issue, which I see lots of new entrepreneurs struggling with, is just kind of getting that initial reach. I think you've got to firstly focus on actually creating a product that people want to use. I've certainly been in position in the past where I've built businesses kind of based on opinion versus looking at figures and perhaps missed the market fit. So we've created products which haven't really worked. I think that's part of the journey of being an entrepreneur. You know, you have successes and failures. And certainly earlier on, you know, when you first start out as an entrepreneur, the successes can be huge and also the failures can be pretty big as well. So it kind of makes the journey exciting. But I guess some of the mistakes that people make is just, you know, kind of going at it gung-ho without really thinking about the users. Or also, I see a lot of entrepreneurs kind of going down the other thing, which I'll get onto in a bit, which is just trying to please everyone, because ultimately every user has got an opinion. The difficult question is, which users do you listen to? Which do you choose to ignore?
James, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Well, firstly, I think it's important to, as I say, start with making sure you're actually creating a product that people want to engage with and use. I think user experience is big these days, and that has a direct knock-on impact to user adoption. You know, if you've got a rubbish user experience, someone doesn't enjoy using your product or they find it confusing to use, that's obviously going to have a big impact on user adoption. I think sometimes simplicity is the key. Also, you know, as I mentioned, it's kind of important to have a product, I think, that's driven by feedback. So ultimately, every single customer that you get on your product, your service, they'll have an opinion of how it should work. And I've found over the years, that sometimes, you know, the users that shout the loudest, e.g. they're jumping up and down, they don't like how a product works, they think it should be in a certain way or it should be in a different way. It's quite often those people, although they're shouting the loudest, they're not always necessarily the people you should listen to, because just because they have an opinion of how something should work, everyone else's opinion might be totally different. So that's where it becomes like slightly tricky, I think, because when you're developing a product, if you say yes to every customer, every feature request you get, you end up with feature creep, which of course can be really, really damaging to a business, have a big painful impact in terms of user adoption, because it means that people aren't going to understand how to use your product service. There's going to be a huge learning curve. You know, you've got so many features that people just get overwhelmed. So I think it's a real fine balancing act between, you know, innovating, making sure that you're listening to your user base, and just saying yes to everyone, or just ending up with a product that kind of is like this Frankenstein. So, you know, you end up something that kind of looks completely different to when you first built it. So I think, for example, when we launched radio.co, the purpose of the platform was to really break down the barriers to entry of starting a radio station. Traditionally, you have lots of equipment, you need to get in engineers to connect it all together. The whole process is quite complicated. So what we wanted to do was build a platform that's easy to use and simple and really approachable for anyone who perhaps doesn't have a great deal of technical experience to get into radio and launch a show. We sort of followed that same simplicity, that ethos, with podcast.co and Matchmaker. And radio.co now is sort of coming up to, it'll be 6 years old this year. So it's just over 5 years old. And over those 5 years, the core, that sort of, that basis, that core understanding of what we're trying to achieve for users hasn't really changed. You know, we have thousands and thousands of customers on the platform now. So of course we get bombarded with messages every day, people saying, oh, I think you should do this, or I don't like how this works, or I want it to work this way instead of this way. And ultimately, you know, it can become completely overwhelming as an entrepreneur if you just sort of sit and listen to everyone, when sometimes actually you've got to say, no, we're going to stick to our original ethos and we're going to keep moving in the direction that, yes, okay, you take on customer feedback. You've got to, you know, engage with your customers. But ultimately, you've got to remember that core, those core values of what you set out to do, which was simplifying a complicated process. And if you lose sight of that, that's when you can, I think, run into real issues with user adoption. And just as a business in general, you can end up with a product that's ends up pretty much being not, you know, the opposite of what you originally intended.
And James, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've never studied it as a subject. And I certainly would say I don't publish work on user adoption, but it's something that I think as an entrepreneur, as a software company owner, you know, you've got to have a good understanding about. And I think really my learning has just been based on trial and error. A lot of it, I've been doing this for 15 years now. So a lot of it has just been through observing how I've been running my businesses. And each time I launch a new company or each time we build a new product, you know, we try and do a better version of what we created before. We try and make it easier to use. We try and make the user experience richer. We try and improve on the design, the user interface, and all those aspects that kind of lead up to this. So yeah, I'd say partly it's one of these things where I'm sure you can go read books on the subject, but I don't really have any advice. I think just you've got to just get stuck in sometimes and learn from your own errors and also try and, you know, take on board feedback, but ultimately form your pathway as you see fit.
So thanks, James.
No problem.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.